Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Dear Father, we thank you for this time and opportunity that we have to hear your word. Lord, I thank you that as your word comes forth tonight, that it's going to fall on the good ground of our hearts, and it's going to produce a hundredfold return, and we're going to see healing in each and every situation in this room. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for what you've already started in us. Lord, your promise to us is that you are faithful to complete it. So, Lord, we thank you for great testimonies. We thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness and your goodness to us. And, Lord, we thank you for leading and guiding us tonight as we delve into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to make our confession that we make every week. So if you have your Bible, let's hold it up. If you use a smartphone, hold that up. If you don't have anything, we have Bibles back there that you can use. And if you'd rather not hold anything up, just hold up your hand in faith. Say, this is my Bible. It's God's word to me. It strengthens me. It refreshes me. It's medicine to me. And I love to read my Bible. All right, so I'm very, 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 my kids would say bossy. But I want you, we're going to do this again. And I want you to make that confession like someone is telling you healing's not real. Like someone's challenging you that everything that Jesus died for you meant nothing. Like I want you to say it with some conviction, like you really do believe it. Because I think that's what it takes for us to be able to receive from God. So let's do it again. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
It's God's word to me.
It's God's word to me.
It strengthens me.
It
refreshes me.
It's medicine to me.
And I love to read my Bible. You see the difference? Sometimes we can just get in the habit of just saying things, but other times it's in us. It's deep down in us. And when it comes to the area, when it comes to anything pertaining to the things of God, we have to have a conviction on the inside of us that what God put in this Bible, what God put in these scriptures is for me, and it's going to change my life. It's going to refresh me. It's going to strengthen me. It's going to be medicine to my body no matter what's coming against me. And I know that for a fact. That is the conviction that all of us need to have. That's the beauty of the gospel. That's the beauty of the word of God, that it's not based on your education. It's not based on how long you've been walking with God. It's not based on how perfect you've been walking with God. If you will simply believe and embrace this and hold on to it with everything that you have, God's word will produce in every situation. Guys, can I tell you that God's no respecter of persons? All throughout this church, all throughout these scriptures are stories of people who've believed God and their lives have been changed. They believe God and they've experienced healing in their bodies and their minds. They believe God and he made the impossible possible. I don't know about you, but I want that same thing to happen in my life. And so let's start embracing his word. Let's start approaching his word in a different way that, you know what? I'm going to get everything that I can that God's made available to me. Amen. So tonight I want to pick back up. I know I have pulled from the story. Miss Joy has pulled from the story. I want to go back to 2 Kings and talk a little bit about the story of Naaman. And we'll start out by reading that tonight once again. 2 Kings chapter 5, it's here in your notes. And starting in verse 1, it says, Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master in high favor. Because of him, the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy. So Naaman went in and told his lord, thus and so spoke the girl from the land of Israel, and the king of Syria said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, 10 changes of clothing, and he brought a letter to the king of Israel, which read, when this letter reaches you, know that I have sent you Naaman, my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy. And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Only consider and see how he was seeking a quarrel with me. But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored and you shall be clean. But Naaman was angry and went away saying, behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not the Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. But his servants came near and said to him, my father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, wash and be clean? So he went down, dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Tonight, I want to talk to you about 3 areas that I think are very important. I want to talk to you about the word, I want to talk to you about faith, and I want to talk to you about hope. You see, I love this story. A lot of times when I read this story, I tend to zone in and focus in on Naaman. But tonight, I want to kind of zero in on this servant girl. You see, there was something special about her, something different about her. We sometimes forget that she was taken captive and placed in the house of Naaman and his family. So she's not there because she wants to be there. She's not friends with Naaman and his wife. Like, she belongs to them now. But I love that no matter what she went through, no matter what she dealt with, no matter how she got there, there was something different about her. She had a conviction on the inside of her. She had an experience. She had seen something. She had experienced something. She knew something within her. And that's what directed her to speak up to Naaman. So let's talk about the scriptures tonight. 3 John 2 says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. I pray above all things that you may prosper in all things and be in health as your soul prospers. See, the key, guys, is we have to get our souls, our insides, into a place where it's strong. What we're believing God for on the outside, it begins on the inside. So let's dig into 3 areas tonight. The Word of God is important. The Word of God brings healing. You know, I love it because one of our church values is God's Word first. Why don't you say that with me tonight? Say, God's Word first. Say it one more time. God's Word first. You see, that has to be written on your heart, that in spite of anything and everything that comes your way, it's always God's Word first. No matter the diagnosis, no matter the family history, no matter whether or not they have a cure or not, God's Word first. That has to be on the inside of us. Proverbs 20 and 22 says, my son, attend to my words, consent and submit to my sayings. Let them not depart from your sight, but keep them in the center of your heart. Why? Because they are life to those who find them and healing and health to all their flesh. The word is so important that we are encouraged to give it our full attention, to attend to it. And then we're told why? Because it's life and healing. Life and healing. The Word of God is powerful, and we need to give it a higher priority in our lives. God's Word is more than instruction. It's life and health. Psalm 107:20 says, for he sent his word forth and heals them and rescues them from all their pits and all their destructions. He sent his word to heal us. So his word has purpose in it. And part of that purpose is to bring healing into our lives. So getting his word on the inside of us means also getting his healing power on the inside of us. His word contains so much power to change everything around. And then John 6:63 says, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And just as medicine restores health to the body, the Word of God does the same for our spirit, soul, and our body. The Word of God heals us. It's powerful. It's strong. And it's very important. So God's Word first. We need God's Word first in every situation. Number 2, faith activates the healing power of God. Faith activates the healing power of God. I want to read Hebrews chapter 1 to you, if you want to turn there with me. Hebrews chapter 1. I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible. Hebrews chapter 1 says, "Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of the things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what's not revealed to the senses." I want to read that again. And again, I'm reading from the Amplified Translation. It says, "Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of the things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses." So we have to have the Word of God, but then we have to have faith in the Word of God. Like, we have to have a conviction, a knowing that the Word of God is true and the Word of God is true for me. So that word faith, it's broken down like this. It's a conviction. It's confidence. It's trust. It's belief. It's reliance. A trustworthiness and persuasion. I'm talking about a divinely implanted principle of inward confidence, assurance, trust, and reliance in God and all He says. Meaning, if God says it in His scriptures, then I believe it. If I've read it on the pages of the Bible, then it's the truth. No matter what diagnosis, no matter what anyone says, this is the truth. God's word first, but I also say God's word last. You always want to allow the Word of God to have the last say in your situation. We have to have belief in His word, trust in His word, be fully persuaded no matter what someone says. Healing is received through faith, not just in hoping that it will happen. Faith speaks, and so we declare God's promises over our health, and we believe for His healing. I believe in future or in past healing classes. I've told the story of my uncle in here. My uncle was my old pastor back in San Antonio and was very influential in me developing my own faith. And I saw him walk out some things. But the story that stood out was when he was in a car accident, a real bad car accident, and he had a Land Cruiser, and his Land Cruiser flipped many, many times. I mean, it looked like a soda can crush when it was done. Somehow, by the grace of God, he was able to crawl out. And when the paramedics got there, I mean, they could tell his entire body was swollen and everything. And he used to tell the funny story, the story so funny. And he said he was standing up outside and said the paramedics came up to the scene and they were like, "Man, is the guy okay? Is he alive?" And he was like, "I'm right here, you know." And he was standing out. And so he said when they saw him, they were like, "Oh my gosh." And he, again, he was swollen. He said they took him and they slammed him down on the gurney. You know, he was like, "Oh, you know," and then they put him in the ambulance. They shot, they you know, raced him to the hospital. And he got to the hospital and they took an x-ray. He said he was in the room. His wife had arrived. And he goes, the doctor comes in and says, Mr. Gardner, I don't know how to say this, but the best way to explain it is you have the same injury as Christopher Reeve. And the slightest move, you could be paralyzed for your life. And my uncle looked at the doctor and said, "By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed." Amen. And the doctor says, "No, Mr. Gardner, I don't think you understand. You have the same injury as Christopher Reeve. You know, he was in the horse accident and he flailed and he broke his neck, spine, and he was in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. And it was hard for him. You understand that?" And my uncle looked at the doctor and said, "By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed." And I guess his response upset the doctor. So the doctor left the room. And he said about 10 minutes passed. And then this other doctor came in and he was a black guy. And the doctor comes in and says, "Hey, brother, what's up? How you doing, man? Look here. Just want to make sure you understand that you have a serious injury here. And any wrong move will paralyze you for the rest of your life." And my uncle looked at him and said, "By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed." And he says, "No." He goes, "Man, look, I get all that stuff. I understand it. But hear me, okay?" He's like, brother to brother, "Hear me. This is serious. And my uncle looked at him and said, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. So this guy left the room. He said he was gone for about 10 minutes. Then another doctor came in. And he said, this guy was like, hey, Mr. Gardner, hey, what church do you go to? You know, he goes, I'm a Christian too. You know, he goes, and I understand that you're standing in faith, but here, let me just explain to you. He goes, this is a very serious injury. And my uncle said, you know what? By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. I need you to give me my paperwork because I'm going to go. What happened? The word of God was on the inside of him. He had a conviction. He had an assurance. He had a knowing on the inside of him that God's healing power was at work. He was unwilling to accept what they were speaking over his situation. That's what you and I have to have, a conviction that no one can take it away from you. This is my Bible. It's God's word to me. It's God's medicine for my body. Does that make sense? Story goes on. Again, he was my pastor, and I remember because we went to the hospital to see him, and I remember he found a Christian doctor who was man of faith, who spoke words of faith, who got into agreement with him, and he helped to do a surgery on my uncle, and I remember we showed up, and y'all ever seen people in halos? Like, my uncle had this big halo. I mean, my uncle was a big man, so this big, huge metal thing, he had bolts in his head and everything, and I remember like, oh my gosh, you know, and so we had some conversation. He goes, you know, I need you to lead the services at church this weekend because I won't be there. I said, okay, I got it. So Sunday morning gets started. We're getting ready to start worship. Door opens and here comes my uncle. Now here I am. Now he's pouring into me, right? And I'm like, what are you doing, man? You need to be careful. You're going to hurt yourself. You could have a setback. And he looked at me and said, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. And he was like, boy, if you say one more thing. And I shut my mouth real quick because I realized I wasn't talking in faith. Fast forward, later on that week, we go to his house to take him some food, you know, and I had the key to his house, so we opened the key to his house. We walked into the kitchen. He wasn't in the kitchen, but the halo was sitting on the counter in the kitchen. He had taken it off. I'm like, and so me, man of faith, I'm like, what are you doing? You're going to set yourself back. You know, you need to listen to your doctors. And he said, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. He goes, give me the food and go. Some wisdom in that. Sometimes we're going to have to put some people out. The word of God and our faith in the word of God is important. And we have to be willing to hold on to his word, be assured of his word no matter what. In Mark 11, 22 and 24, it says, and Jesus replying said to them, have faith in God constantly. Truly, I tell you that whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. And for this reason, I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, that's meaning trust and be confident that it's granted to you, and you will get it. That's faith. We have to have that on the inside of us. We have to know that doubt can hinder the flow of healing, but faith aligns us with God's will. So we want to put God's word first. We want to let it have the last saying, but we want to have faith as well. And then we also want to have hope. Hope sustains us while we wait for the healing. Romans 15, 13 says, may the God of your hope so fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound and be overflowing with hope. Hope is nothing more than a confident expectation. It keeps us anchored while we're waiting for the healing. That's what hope is. I also like to paint a picture. And so I tell people, when you're believing God for something, get a picture. See yourself walking. See yourself breathing normally. See yourself healed and whole. Have that picture in mind. Many years ago, when my kids were younger, they're all adults now, I remember when I got the bright idea to take my kids to Disney World. And so this is back when Disney used to have a package that you could order where it would show you what you were going to experience when you came to the park. And so I still remember the day I sat all three of my kids down and said, all right, Daddy has a surprise for you. And so I put the little DVD in and we started playing it. And they got so excited because they saw all the different things that Disney had to offer. And I remember my three kids are so different. I remember my oldest son was like, oh man, I want to take a picture with Aladdin, you know. So he had this picture of him and Aladdin, you know, back to back taking a picture. And he actually ended up doing that. And then my middle daughter, you know, Maya, she had this idea that she wanted to see Cinderella, and she wanted to curtsy with Cinderella and get a picture. And we have a picture of the 10 of them to do that. And then my youngest daughter, she was like, forget all that. I want to ride the Tower of Terror. But that was in her mind. That was her picture of what she wanted to do. Well, the thing I didn't calculate was I showed them this video in January, and we weren't going to Disney until the summer. And so every day, they would get up and say, is today today? Is today today? Is today today? Why? Because there was a confident expectation in that my father said that this was going to happen, and so I believe it. And so they held on to that. They held on to the picture that their father showed them. When we began the journey of driving to Orlando, Florida, 30 minutes in, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Why? There was a confident expectation that their father had said, this is what is going to be available to you at some point. And they were holding on to that. And what happened? Each of them got to experience the thing that they were believing for. And a funny side note is so I had been to Disney World before. My youngest daughter, when she was younger, she was tiny. And, you know, if you've been to Disney, they have height requirements for different rides. And so I am terrified of roller coasters and rides and things. And so, but I didn't want to break my daughter's heart. And so I remember saying, yeah, you can ride it. And my wife was like, really? And I remember telling my wife, she's going to be too small to get on it. So this is God's favor. So we just happened to walk up and there's no line. And she was like, Daddy, I can't wait. I'm like, well, hold on, sweetie. First, you have to go up to the line to see if you're tall enough. And I kind of winked at the guy behind the stand. She goes up. She's this much shorter than the line. And the guy looks at me and winks and says, she'll be okay. You can ask her. And so we have this picture of the Tower of Terror. You go up to the top and the doors open. And before you drop, they take a picture. And in the picture, she's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, you know, it's horrible. But what the picture she had in her heart, she held on to until she was able to receive that for herself. It's the same way for you and I. Hold on to the picture of you walking, breathing, healthy and whole, and don't let it go until you experience that for yourself. Does that make sense, guys?
Yes.
One more story when it comes to hope. You know, I God is faithful and God is good. And you can ask the Lord to give you a picture. And if you hold on to that, he will fulfill it. You know, we're in here, we're talking about healing. We're talking about restoration. I talked about how I went to a church in San Antonio and some things transpired and went down and our life was in shambles. It was broken from every facet. It was broken financially. It was broken emotionally. My trust was broken. I didn't believe in people at the church anymore. It was just, we were in shambles. And I remember we hit rock bottom and I was struggling with my faith, struggling. And I remember reading the scriptures about a confident expectation, about hope in God. And it happened to be around the end of the year. And our pastor did something different that year. And he said for December 31st, he wanted to do something called a watch night service. And he wanted everybody to seek the Lord and to come up and just share with everyone what the Lord was going to do in the years to come. And I'll never forget that because it was the first time I ever had to take a step of faith. Because we went to a smaller church about 200 people, but everyone knew what had happened to the Thompsons and what we'd gone through, where we were, what I was no longer doing, and it was quite humiliating. But I watched that night when person after person got up on that stage and talked about how God was going to give them a new job or give them a new home or give them a new car or give them a new relationship. It was person after person, and I remember my wife looking at me saying, are you going to go up there? And I remember looking at her saying, I don't think so. And it was a last minute thing. Pastor looked around. Anybody else want to come? And we were the only family who hadn't gone up there. And just something rose in me. And I remember saying, God, either you're real or you're not. And I believe you are. I got up on that stage and I said, you know what? I prayed the other night. And the Lord showed me a vision of myself. And me and my family, we were in a beautiful home. So we were in a new place, somewhere I've never seen before. And I said, all of you know, and I got kind of bold, all of you know what's gone down here at the church. And I said, but God showed me a picture of me standing in front of people that I've never seen before. And I believe that God is a God of restoration, a God of healing, and He's going to bring that about in my life. And it was one of those, you know, you've been around people where people are like, okay, bless his heart, sit down. And that's what I felt like. But when I took that step on that stage, God, there was a conviction on the inside of me. And guys, can I tell you, God began to do something. I didn't even realize what was going on. All of a sudden at my work, someone flew down from our corporate office, said, hey, we've been looking at you. I'm like, we're the smallest facility all over the nation. Why are you looking at me? This opportunity opened up in Houston. So I came. We took the job. God blessed us financially. My family started coming to the Ark midweek. I was skeptical at first. Then I started coming midweek, but I didn't want to go into the service too many people, so I slipped into this class in classroom 101, healing class. And I tried to hide in the back of the classroom, right, Miss Janet? I used to, they'd be up there teaching, and I'd be bending over. And I'm taller than most of the people in the room, but I'm trying to bend over, trying to hide. But sitting in that room, the Lord began to restore. The Lord began to heal. The Lord began to do things. And then all of a sudden, dreams and things that I had thought were gone, God began to restore. God began to heal. God began to heal. And I'll never forget, it was 3 years ago, the first time I ever taught in main service on a Wednesday night. Pastor Allen did this video intro for me. And I'd forgotten all about all that stuff. I'm like, I'm moving forward. And he says, I want to introduce to you Derek Thompson. And I stood up and I turned around. And in the moment I turned around, God brought back to my remembrance the picture he showed me. And it was the exact image that I was looking at when I was getting ready to say something. And it took me a minute to compose myself. What happened? God showed me a picture and I held on to it. And I didn't let it go. If you will hold on in hope to the image of yourself, whole, restored, and healed, and never let go, you will experience it. Why? Because God is good and He's faithful. And if you're believing that for your children as well, He's good and He's faithful. So God's word first, understanding faith activates the healing power of God in our lives, and hope sustains us. The evidence of healing doesn't always present itself instantly, just like my story, but hope keeps us steadfast. That word steadfast, it means being firm, constant, and unwavering. It means staying strong and faithful no matter what challenges or difficulties come your way. It's about holding on to something important with determination, even when things are hard. It's a process, guys. Sometimes we hear stories of healing or restoration or whatever, and we're like, oh, it happened fast for them. And so we start believing God for that. Don't focus on the process. Just know God's going to heal you. Know healing belongs to you. Know that it's a finished work, and it's a finished work for you. Even when healing doesn't come right away, hope helps us to stay strong and patient. It's like having the strength to keep believing and trusting that things will get better, even when we don't see immediate results. And being steadfast in hope means you keep going, you keep trusting, you keep promising, or you keep the promise of healing, even when it takes time. Never stop believing. And somewhere somebody's singing that song, Don't Stop Believing. When we focus on God's promises rather than the symptoms, we can cultivate endurance. And number four, we have to remember that Jesus is the ultimate source of healing. Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and our iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. Jesus' sacrifice secured healing for us, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Healing is not just an occasional miracle, but it's a part of the atonement. You know, I hear people all the time, you know, healing was in the Old Testament. No, healing's here today. Well, God heals some, he doesn't heal all. No, God's no respecter of persons. Healing's available to each and every one. One of my favorite phrases in the Bible, it's a part of a story, but it's where Jesus looked at the man and said, only believe. I have it in my office written on a sticky note right on my computer. Only believe. Why? Because every moment of the day, no matter what happens, we always have an opportunity to doubt, to give up. But Jesus, right there, he gives us the only believe. Only believe in him. Keep your faith in him. And so let's talk about that word atonement. Atonement, it's a churchy word. It's the process of making things right or bringing harmony between people and God after something has gone wrong. Healing, whether it's physical, emotional, or spiritual, isn't just something that happens randomly or occasionally, but it's an essential part of what Jesus' sacrifice made possible. It's part of the package. It's part of the deal. And we have to understand that. That if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, healing comes right along with that. You know, I talked about that story in Disney World. And, you know, we're young, kind of dumb. We didn't know what we were doing. So I bought this whole package when we went, and we were there for 7 days. And so, you know, I'm operating in my own knowledge. You know, I didn't really read all the information on the packet that I received. And so the first 6 days of our stay, we're penny pitching. The kids are like, can I have that? I'm like, nope, can't get that. Can I have that? Nope, can't get that. Can I have that? Nope, can't get that. Just be glad we're here. So we're sitting, seventh day, we're sitting in the restaurant, and I overhear this couple talking about the same package that I paid for, they paid for as well. So I leaned over and I asked them a question. And I said, wait, hold on. Do you mean every day we can get this, this, and this, and then the kids get souvenirs? And they were like, yep. And I looked at all these, the stuff in the packet, and it said that you had 7 days to use all of your benefits. And so I went up to the clerk. I said, can you read this and explain this to me? And she goes, yes, Mr. Thompson. She says, we've broken it down so you have, your kids can get one souvenir each day, and they're entitled to one dessert each day, and they're entitled to, and she just kept naming things. And so I said, can you write that down for me? And so she wrote it down, and I went and got my kids, and I looked at them. I said, guys, go wild. I said, take it all. And my kids will tell you, my son's 27. It was 3 years ago, no, 4 years ago. And we were in the pantry, and we still had old Mickey Mouse candy and everything in the back of the pantry. Because I was like, if it's a part of the package, I'm not leaving Orlando till I take advantage of everything that I paid for. You guys hear me? Because the cost was high. Do you realize that when Jesus went to the cross, the cost was high? He paid the ultimate price. Why? Because he loves us. He deemed us worth it. And he says, I want them not only saved, but I want them healed. So I don't know about you, but I want it all. Not because I'm selfish, but because he's made it available to me. So grab on to healing because it belongs to you. He died and made it available for you. His atonement, his act of making things right includes the restoration of not only our relationship with God, but also the restoration of our bodies and our minds. That's healing. Always remember that he willingly accepted his body would be broken so that you and I would not have to remain broken. And that's physically and mentally. And another way to say this is he bore the wounds meant for us, allowing his body to be broken so that ours could be healed. Guys, we receive healing by standing on what Jesus has already accomplished. So we need his word. We need his word. And when we get his word in front of us, we need to begin to trust it, believe in it, have conviction about it, and hold on to it. And then allow that word to paint a new picture, paint a new portrait, paint a new future. And understand, guys, that when he went to that cross, it's a finished work. It's a done deal. It's already paid for. And it will come to pass. Amen? Amen? Father, I thank you for each and every person here tonight. I thank you that your word fell on good ground. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to show each of us individually what it is that we need to apply in our lives. And so, Father, we thank you. We thank you for always being good to us. We thank you that you are no respecter of persons. And just as you've moved in the lives of others, in the lives of those in Scripture, Father, we thank you that you're already at work moving in our situation. We thank you, Lord God, that no matter the diagnosis, no matter how long, Father, we thank you that your healing power is at work in us right now, bringing about a healing and a cure. And Lord, we thank you that in the days ahead, we will give you all the glory and we'll shine like lights to all those who need to know you as Jesus the healer. Father, we thank you for it and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.